Hi, I'm Dan Dietrich, pastor of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri. Today's Father's Day, and I want to spend a few minutes talking about honoring your father and teaching your children how to honor their parents. Listen to Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Previously in chapter 5, Paul commanded wives to submit themselves to their own husbands as unto the Lord. Then in chapter 6, he commanded children to obey their parents in the Lord. Later, he commanded servants to obey their masters as unto Christ. The point of these verses is that obedience to God necessitates obedience to those who are in authority over us, whether it be wives to husbands, children to parents, or servants to masters. Paul then adds a good motive, for this is right. In verse 2 of our text, Paul quotes the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. It's important to note that obedience and honor are not the same thing. One can obey without honoring, but one cannot honor without obeying. Often, children obey for very selfish reasons. Their love of reward, or their fear of chastisement, or their desire to just avoid the hassle provide the incentive to do just enough to get by without another lecture. But honor was never really in their heart. So what's the difference between obedience and honor? Obedience translates a word that means to subordinate oneself to or to take heed to a command. It's a good word, a positive word, but it's absent the idea of respect. Honor, on the other hand, comes from a word that means to prize, to value, to revere, to hold in esteem. The difference between the two words is the same as the difference between actions and attitudes. Obedience is the action and honor is the attitude. We all know that children often do the right things for wrong reasons and with bad attitudes. But Paul's admonishing them to obey their parents not with a cold heart of indifference, but with a heart filled with reverence and respect. It's been said that slaves obey out of fear, servants obey for reward, but sons obey out of love and respect. Paul says that this is the first of God's commands that promises a reward. That reward is twofold. First, it promises that it may be well with thee. That's good fortune. Then it promises that thou mayest live long on the earth. That's long life. Who would not want a long life, especially if it was filled with good fortune? As motivation for obedience, Paul offered the satisfaction of doing right. Then as motivation for honoring parents, he offered long life and good fortune. With this reward in mind, how can you calculate the value of godly parents? It's only fair to point out that the converse of this promise is also true. If a child fails to honor his parents, then his life will not go well, and he will not live long. In other words, the child who dishonors his father and mother will curse himself with bad fortune and a shortened life, possibly even an untimely death. Think of it, the difference between life and death, between fortune and failure, is whether a child honors his parent or not. If a child honors his parents, God will bless him. But if he fails to do so, it doesn't matter how hard he works, how smart he is, or how shrewd he becomes, God will curse him. This begs the question, why is the reward for honoring parents so great? Or we could ask it another way, why is the penalty for dishonoring parents so severe? To answer these questions, we will need to understand some important biblical truth. First of all, God attaches such promise and penalty to the fifth commandment because parents are the primary vehicle through which the other nine commandments are to be conveyed to the next generation. Pastors and teachers have their place, that's true. But no one has more exposure, no one is more responsible according to the scripture than dads and moms. It's from parents that children are to learn to have no other gods, to make no graven images, to abstain from profaning God's name, to remember the Sabbath day. Parents are to warn their children not to commit murder, not to commit adultery, not to steal, not to lie, and not to covet. Those commandments all have positive principles behind them upon which society stands or falls, and parents are the designated teachers of these great precepts. Parents are to teach their children the sanctity of exclusive and faithful worship of God. Parents are to teach their children the sanctity of the home, the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of property, and the sanctity of truth, and the sanctity of conscience. All these principles are derived from the Ten Commandments, and parents are the primary instructors of them. Secondly, parents must teach children what life is. A simple illustration may help. A child came home from school and asked for a snack. Mother fixed a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and poured a glass of milk. The child ate half the sandwich, drank half the milk, and ran out to play. An hour later, mother set the table for supper, threw the sandwich in the trash, and poured the milk down the drain. The child wasted the snack, and the mother disposed of the waste. But what was actually wasted? Peanut butter, bread, jelly, and milk? Or was something more valuable than a snack lost? You must understand where the snack came from. Dad got up every morning and went to work. He traded 8 hours of his time, which is his life, for money. On Friday, he received a check which he deposited in the bank, keeping some money out for incidentals. On the way home, his wife asked him to pick up some snack food. He spent some of the money for the snack food, which he brought home to his family. In short, he traded his life, be it a small part of it, for the snack. It was not just a snack that was wasted, it was a small portion of Dad's life. In reality, we trade life for tangibles, and intangibles too, every day. Our life is time. When a parent takes time to fix a bike, repair a toy, or read a story, that's time. That's life. Our life is energy. When mother shops, cooks, washes dishes, launders clothes, mops the floor, drives kids to appointments, or educates them at home, that takes energy and that's life. Our life is money. When a parent buys clothes, groceries, or other necessities, pays tuition, or passes out spending money, that's life. Our life is property. Our house, our furniture, our car, the tires on the car, all that is material and all of that is life. Our life is our reputation. Scripture says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Our name would include a reputation for good behavior, an humble spirit, a good attitude, respect for authority, truthfulness, honesty, hard work, purity in morals, and devotion to God. A good reputation is life. Finally, life is conscience. Conscience would be the values that we hold that are based upon the Word of God and our faith in God. Those values are life. We trade our life for these things every day, and they become our life. One might ask, is this a biblical view to see service and money, material, reputation, conscience as life? Well, listen to Scripture. Proverbs 1:19 describes the greedy of gain as those who taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Luke 15:12-13 says of the father of the prodigal that he divided unto them his living. It says of the prodigal that he wasted his substance with riotous living. Thus the living of the father is equated with the substance wasted by the son. Scripture tells us that David described the water procured by the three mighty men as the blood of men. Now it was water, but David saw it as blood because that's exactly what those men risked to obtain it for him. Now if life, particularly the life of the parents, in reality is their energy, service, money, material property, reputation, and conscience, then what would be the logical penalty for taking this life disrespectfully by a child? In Scripture, the penalty for taking a man's life is death. Listen to Genesis 9:6. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. The biblical principle is blood for blood, life for life. Why? Because man is created in the image of God. Thus taking a man's life is murder. That is, if you take his life so that you end it. But what do you call it if you take a little of his life in the middle? That, my friend, we shall call disrespect. And if a man takes a little chunk of his father's life in the middle of his life and treats it as an unholy thing, we shall see that God treats that offense very seriously. He shall not prosper, and he shall not live long in the earth. Scripture is rife with examples of children who disrespected their fathers and brought a curse upon themselves. One such example is Jacob. He cheated his brother Esau, then lied to his poor old blind dad Isaac. He fled to Haran, where Uncle Laban cheated him for the next 20 years. Then he returned to Canaan, where his daughter was ravished by Shechem, a pagan Canaanite. Then his sons Simeon and Levi murdered all the Shechemite men for revenge. Their stunt made Jacob to stink in that place so that he had to move on. Then he lost his beloved wife Rachel in childbirth. And then his son Reuben committed immorality with his concubine Bilhah. Later, his 10 older sons perpetrated the fraudulent death of Joseph, supposedly by wild beasts, and deprived him, that is Jacob, of his favorite son for the next 22 years. His life became one unfortunate event after another, so that when Pharaoh asked Jacob, "How old art thou?" Jacob answered, "The days of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life." In some cases, the son who dishonors his father pays with an untimely death, such as Samson. He disrespected his father. "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well," he said. He despised his heritage. He demanded a Philistine bride, and his father complained, "Is there not a woman among the daughters of thy brethren?" He played with sin, disregarded the Nazarite vows, touched a dead body, feasted with Philistines, and slept with the harlot Delilah, and revealed to her the secret of his strength. Of course, she betrayed him to the Philistines, who abbreviated his life. One always queries, what about the exceptions? I know of children who've dishonored their parents and lived to a ripe old age, and quite well at that. What about them? Well, I do agree. God does not have to turn your life into a series of unfortunate events, nor does he have to cut your life short to punish you for disrespecting your parents. All he has to do is give you children just like you were, and God can use them to settle the score. Do you wonder why your children waste your time, your energy, disrespect your service, disrespect your property, dishonor your reputation, and defy your conscience? My friend, those may be seeds you sowed in your youth that you're just now reaping. Remember, God gave Jacob kids just like himself. His kids deceived him about Joseph's death, just like he had deceived his old blind dad. The deceiver became the deceived. Now, isn't it time that you gave the respect that's due to your dad and mom? And as a dad, maybe you ought to begin teaching your children the value of life, of time, of energy, of service, of money, of material possessions, of reputation, and of conscience. It's not too late. Why don't you get started today? Have a good day, and God bless you.
You've been listening to the broadcast of the First Baptist Church of Wayland, Missouri, with Pastor Dan Dietrich. If this program has been a blessing to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through our website at www.fbcwayland.org or by giving us a call at 660-754-6312. Or by dropping us a line at P.O. Box 281, Wayland, Missouri, 63472. My friend, it's not yet 9 o'clock, and you still have time to get to church this morning. So why don't you decide right now that today you're going to make it to church? If you don't have a church home, let me invite you to visit us here this morning at First Baptist Church, located in Wayland, Missouri, on Highway B, just an eighth mile north of Highway 136. For directions to our church or to listen to more preaching, log on to our website, www.fbcwayland.org. Once again, that's www.fbcwayland.org.